Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 38 of the Writer's Block podcast. I am your host, Brandon Laurie, and normally, again, we do have Jess Navarez here. She's not trying to avoid you guys. I promise she loves you just as much as I do, but with the Dallas Stars, the fight is just still in them, and after the dramatic win in Las Vegas, they pushed to a game six. So as we're recording this, the game hasn't happened yet, but tomorrow you might be waking up in mourning of a Dallas Stars loss, but that's not going to be the case. They're going to push a game seven. So she had to be working that. So I have another reinforcement, somebody, again, being like the backup quarterback, if you will, of the pod. And of course, you can find him on the Star Seminar podcast, a longtime member of the Blogging the Boys family. It is Mr. Danny Phantom, who you can follow on Twitter at DannyPhantom24. Danny, thank you so much for hopping on. Again, nothing against Jess, but sometimes these little, you know, things mixing up the podcast, getting new people on is also a good thing for me too. I don't have to talk to her as much.
No, absolutely. I've been kind of waiting for a crossover. I know we've had Jess on the Star Seminar before, and you know, I know if we've extended the offer to you once before too. So I like it when we're able to kind of come over to the other side and, you know, and just hang out with you guys for a little bit. So absolutely, I'm delighted to be here with you today, Brandon.
Awesome. And well, you know, a lot of things have been going on, not only with the Cowboys, but also in the media world. And a couple series are ending. You have Ted Lasso, you have Barry on HBO, but another show as well is Succession. The finale aired this weekend. And while Danny and I have no idea what the show is about, to me, my basic understanding of it is it's big business, it's money, it's contracts, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. But it really honestly ties into an article that Danny just wrote that's on Blogging the Boys, talking about why it wouldn't be a good idea for the Cowboys to sign somebody like a DeAndre Hopkins because of future contracts. So give almost like a Cliff Notes version, Danny, of that article. And then this way people, if want to go and read it, you kind of tease them towards that.
Yeah, for me, it's just basically about how you're going to spend your money. And I mean, I remember when the news first broke, you know, RJ comes out, he's like, why would you not want this? And absolutely, and nobody's going to turn down a DeAndre Hopkins. He's a great player, and he's still one of the better receivers in the league, to, you know, in my opinion. He hasn't shown a real sign of slowing down. I know the last couple of years he's missed some time, but great player. For, you know, that's certainly not the issue at all. It really comes down to how you want to use your resources. And the Cowboys, to me, I mean, I feel really good about the receivers they have, and when they went out and got Brandon Cooks. So I mean, they have three good receivers, and remember, Michael Gallup is another year removed from that knee injury. So I don't know that spending a lot of money on a player like Hopkins is the best way to get, you know, bang for your buck. If you, you know what, he's going to make the receiving game better, but how much better? And if you could spend that money elsewhere to bolster a position group that is not so strong, then that's, to me, that's a no brainer. That's where you should go. And so, yeah, I'm just not interested. It seems like, you know, it looks pretty in the lights, but it's just not something that makes a lot of sense as far as improving your football team. So yeah, I'm not for that. And you can go and you can read all the reasoning behind that too. So just say no to D-Hop for me.
Well, and I also like too, on Twitter, when you teased the article, you said you don't like D-Hop, you like IHOP instead. You want more pancakes, more players. And I have to agree, when you look at DeAndre Hopkins, he's over that 30 mark, which a lot of players seemingly drop off after 30 now in the modern NFL. And I do think that when you look at the Cowboys and who they have to sign, I mean, you do have a Terrence Steele. You do have a Dak Prescott. You're going to have to figure out a long-term deal again. And then you do have a Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, and CeeDee Lamb, where those guys, they're under not only the 30 threshold, but they're players that have been here. They're cornerstones of the franchise. Why sign somebody for 2 years, a year, and allocate resources towards that when you can get maybe one of the two of those guys done now? And then this way you can kind of set yourself up long term for the future. Because when we were going to get into this exercise next, but I was looking at all these different contracts for the Cowboys, there's a lot of people who are going to be up in the next few years, not only this year, but next year. So it's like, why not get one or two of those guys done? What's Hopkins going to do for you, like you mentioned, this year compared to what you could get from other guys?
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people tend to forget about in all this is that, you know, we do have players and we're able to retain these kind of players because we have made decisions like this in the past where we have not taken on those big contracts from these other players that have been released and whatnot. The Cowboys are really big on re-signing their own. And to me, when you look at a player like Micah, who, you know, we don't ever want to have to decide whether or not to keep him or not. We want to make sure we were able to do that. And same thing with Trayvon. So those things are important pieces. So you make decisions now that help you later. But one other element too, that is kind of Cowboys specific is, when it comes to Prescott, you know, the Cowboys have been very fortunate to have a Romo and a Prescott where they have this, basically they're going to have two plus decades of good quarterback, at least those of us that appreciate those guys. And so you don't need to go in and necessarily try to put all your eggs in the win now basket and try to get something done here, because every year you're going to have an opportunity. When you have those players on your team, you're going to have opportunity. So I like Jones's approach to basically give yourself a shot every year, because you don't know what could happen. Maybe you could be like the Rams and you hit. Maybe you can be like the, you know, Rams and you don't. And it's to me, it's chancy to take those risks. I'd much rather just go in and do what they're doing and every year have a year, a chance. And I don't look at it as like, oh man, we were one DeAndre Hopkins away from really, you know, making a difference. I don't see it that way. I think there are other factors. So I like the way the Cowboys approach, and absolutely there's a lot of players that, that are coming down for your renewal. And, you know, you mentioned the IHOP in particular. There's guys that can level players on the offensive line. And I think that's super important because you want to be able to keep your franchise quarterback upright. And those things are important.
Absolutely. And not only that, but the Cowboys are also a draft and develop team. They've always been that, especially in recent history. And when you have somebody like a Jalen Tolbert who underperformed last year to his standards, to the Cowboys standards, DeAndre Hopkins is somebody that would come in and be sort of a stopgap type player where you want to see what you have in Jalen Tolbert this year. And he's putting in the work. So I understand that the talent level, there's a bigger gap between those two players, but the Cowboys want to see the type of player that Tolbert could be, because just the value of Tolbert compared to Hopkins, what you can get from both players, it just, the needle just constantly moves towards somebody like a Tolbert.
Yeah, it's tricky because I can sit here and say last year I felt pretty good about the Cowboys receiving group, because while I didn't know who was going to emerge, I felt like there was enough options that someone would. And then as we saw, we were pretty disappointed with them, because none of them basically, you know, worked out, and the Cowboys ended up having to go and sign T.Y. Hilton later in the season. So yeah, I mean, you want to be able to feel good about your pass catchers, but I'm at that point now, because I think Brandon Cooks is a really good player.
Yeah.
And the three of them together, I mean, they're all three have 1,000-yard seasons. And that's something the Cowboys have never, since the Super Bowl era, have never entered the year with. They've had a lot of guys, but they've never had three that have already accomplished that. And so I feel like this is a really good trio of receivers that the Cowboys have right now.
Yeah. And speaking of that, we're going to talk about contracts, as I mentioned up at the top, and sort of the people who maybe we aren't really thinking about. Of course, you do have your Parsons, your Lamb, your Diggs, and your Prescott. But who are these other guys when you go down the list of contracts that might be expiring this year? They might be expiring next year, that the Cowboys can try and, you know, beat the curve a little bit, find some financial succession, if you will, you know, to make sure that they're locked in for the future. So, Danny, I'll defer to you since you are the guest. I'll let you start with your first player. Who do you have?
So it was really tough for me for my first player, because it's really between two guys. And you know, I think there's a smart choice and then there's my favorite choice. So I'm gonna just, you know, I'm gonna go with my favorite. I am a big Terrence Steele guy. I feel like the Terrence Steele situation itself is a little tricky because there are a lot of different variables to this, but I do think that we know we have a good player who is on the rise. You know, the leap that he took from his rookie season when he was just basically thrown to the wolves to now is remarkable. So coming off an injury adds a little wrinkle to the mix, but you know, you have a player who he would love to get himself some long-term security. And, you know, he's just playing on the second round tender, which is like $4.3 million right now. So I think the Cowboys have a little bit of leverage here. They also have Tyron Smith. He's a kind of a trump card this year. I could see them using him as right tackle, you know, take their sweet time with Steele, you know, until they're absolutely sure that he's 100%. So any type of timeshare situation could give the Cowboys, you know, a little bit of advantage. It might take a little bit of a hit on Steele's market value if they wait. So there's some reasoning where Steele may want to try to get something done sooner. But I think the final thing to all this is that we now have a sense of what the team has in Tyler Smith, you know, after a very solid rookie season. I know that's a ways away, but we're going to give him a lot of money. We know that that's coming eventually. So would the Cowboys consider maybe doing a short-term deal with Terrence right now to secure the right tackle position, you know, and, you know, keep trying to develop new guys that come in the building because you got Matt Wiletzko, you know, and then of course they just drafted Asim Richards. So I'm going to make Steele a priority, but I'm really going to try to get something done. And it may not be the long-term type of deal that they typically do with these offensive linemen, but I think that getting him on the, you know, locked up for another, you know, 3 or so years would be wise for the Cowboys because he's a really good player and he's still getting better.
You mentioned this idea of almost a help you help me situation where Terrence Steele is dealing with injury, he's recovering, and the Cowboys want to lock him up. So why not just bet on yourself, similarly to like a Michael Gallup situation? I know the contract doesn't look too good right now, but the Cowboys paid Michael Gallup and, you know, he was still recovering from his injury. And I think that if Michael Gallup still had a successful season, he wasn't injured, I think that maybe his market value would have been a lot more than what the Cowboys got him for. So it's almost a situation where you give Terrence Steele the money that he's looking for, but also protects the Cowboys where if he really does not look like the same player, you can kind of get out from under that contract. It's not a 6-year, 7-year deal. Of course, the Tyron Smith one is just a aberration. That just doesn't happen, especially you don't see it as much anymore. But the other thing I was thinking of when you mentioned, you know, Terrence Steele is that now you have a different offensive line coach in Mike Solari, and Joe Philbin really developed him. I believe, you know, there's a hand in that. And you wonder if Mike Solari is going to be coming in and doing the same thing. And you don't want him to kind of stunt the growth of that. But I do trust Steele and his development. Like you said, he mentioned he came in as an undrafted free agent. He really has shown time and time again that he is one of the better tackles in the league. But if it takes time for him to get back to normalcy, like, again, pay him, give him his money, and make it short term, I'm totally in agreement with what you said.
Yeah, for sure, too. And one of the benefits of a timeshare him is that not only do you get to preserve the health of, you know, both your tackles there, but, you know, the way they configured Tyron Smith still, too, is, you know, they save money, too, if he doesn't play so many snaps, too. So I feel like the Cowboys, they can really go about this the right way. Now, if Steele recognizes that and he wants to be on the field, you know, so he can really boost his value entering free agency, you know, he's not going to, you know, he don't want to be in a timeshare situation too. I don't really know how the Cowboys tackle situation is going to play out. You know, all this talk about, you know, moving him to guard seems just completely silly to me. But you know what? I don't know. I mean, the coaches have a feel for things, you know, who knows, but to me, I feel like, I could see a scenario where the Cowboys can capitalize on the situation and try to get him for a little cheaper than, you know, what he will go for next year. But I will say this, I'm not opposed to a long-term deal either, because you get him for like a, you know, 5-year, $75 million or something. Seems like a lot, like 15 per, I think. At the same time, that's not a lot as you look ahead. You know, it's going to end up being cheaper down the stretch. And plus, Cowboys love those long-term deals where they get that flexibility to restructure. And so I think you have some options with Terrence Steele, but I do hope that he is a piece to the Cowboys' future, because I think he's a great player. I was one of those players, the people that just not sad at all to see LC go, because I knew what we had in Terrence Steele. And so I hopefully the Cowboys are able to keep him on the team.
And I also think that the franchise tag is another option for the Cowboys if they can't get something done maybe next year. But again, you have somebody like a Trayvon Diggs, or, you know, that you want to re-sign, and maybe you want to give him the franchise tag instead. So just get the deal done now. It kind of makes things a lot easier. And similarly, the first player that I had, we're going with the theme of offensive line, and I picked Zach Martin. And I picked Zach Martin because when you look at his contract, he signed a 6-year, $84 million contract, but it expires in 2025. So a few years from now, something that really not a lot of people are talking about and thinking about. But to me, you know, you look at his cap hit this year, it's $11 million, something a little over that. And the next year, over about $23 million. So if you want to lower his cap hit to sign other players, he's sort of like this domino player where instead of pushing his number down, down, down and restructuring, you just give him a brand new contract and you hope that it lowers the number, you know, closer to that maybe $15 million range. But to me, a comparable contract, you look at Chris Lindstrom of the Falcons, just signed a 5-year, $102 million deal. Zach Martin is, of course, a much better player than what Chris Lindstrom is. And he's that veteran player, just old, reliable, you know, somebody who goes in day in, day out and does his work. But the other gray area that I'm a little concerned about with this contract and I'm thinking about is that Zach Martin, does he want to keep playing? Is he thinking about retirement on the horizon? He's going to be 34 next year. And, you know, I looked and it's absolutely shocking. He's earned so far over $75 million in career earnings. So he has a good chunk of change to retire with. But that's why I was thinking this final offer of a 3-year deal, which would lock him up for the next 4 years, you know, for about $80 million with a potential out in 2025. This way, if, you know, 2 years from now, he just wants to quit, call it quits, and retire, the Cowboys kind of protect themselves as well, and then he gets a little bit more money. But with Zach Martin, is that somebody that you thought about as a player for this, or is that something that you just kind of just pushed off thinking that he would be here for the next 10 years?
No, actually, I'm glad you brought it up. So it's not something I thought of. I figured that we would address the Zach issue when his contract expires, and it would be basically come down to, hey, you want to stick around? Because obviously we want you if you do. And, yeah. You know, we'll work something out and maybe give a little, like another 3-year deal to throw on. And it may not even be a real 3-year deal, maybe a 2-year deal with, you know, some contract magic or something. But that's where my mind was with Zach. However, I'm not opposed to doing something like you're saying. I may wait until next offseason to address this when he's got 1 year left on the deal, because two things happen there. First off, you know, you add more time to it, but also you're going to get a better sense of where Zach is as far as he wants to play. Is he able to, you know, keep his health up, which he has been, surprisingly. You know, we started to see a little bit of kind of wear and some, you know, he missed a game for the first time, you know, and then he starts to, it's taken a toll for sure. So the Cowboys would have another season to kind of just see where he's at. And but if he keeps playing like Zach Martin plays, absolutely, I think it would be a smart thing to do to lock him down for, you know, try to get him for a couple more years past what his current contract is. No, I think that is some good outside the box thinking there, Brad. I was not expecting you to go that direction, but well done. You know, more pancakes.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Yeah, I love it. Can't have enough flapjacks. But, you know, the one thing I thought about is you also have somebody in Travis Frederick who he really got close with. He retired early, of course, for battling his disease and just, you know, wanted to call it quits. You see Tyron Smith might be leaving after this season. And those are two guys that he was really close with. And it's like, does he want to kind of be the elder statesman in the room? And I think he appreciates it and he understands that he has to be this veteran leader in the locker room. But, you know, you have Tyler Smith, you have a left guard, which is uncertainty right now. Tyler Biadasz would be the second oldest player. And then Terrence Steele, it's just you have all these guys that, you know, does he want to go through this again? Does he want to do this over again? And, I mean, you bring up a good point where if maybe the Cowboys want to wait until the end of the year, just see where he's at. Because I do think I've been hearing more talk from beat writers and everything that they wouldn't be shocked if Zach Martin played for the next 5 years. They also wouldn't be shocked if he retired after two. You know, so I just think that it really just is up to him, of course, at the end of the day. But if they can lock him in, I think the price and everything with the cap growing, you have a lot of young guards that are developing really well that are going to start getting paid really, really good money. And I think if you can kind of beat that wave a little earlier than what the boom happens, I think that would be beneficial to the Cowboys.
Yeah, one thing I will add, too, is something that could come into play with Martin's decision, too, besides of just physically how he's holding up. But also, how does he feel about this team's chances?
Right.
And I think if you look around, the Cowboys have a competitive roster. You know, they have a great defense behind them. You know, they have a quarterback that I know Zach trusts. So if you look at those things, I mean, there's a perfect opportunity to, like, why not? Why not hang around? I mean, where's the rush to call it quits if your body can hold up? So, and I think that helps. That helps the Cowboys. And that's one of the things we just kind of circled back to what we talked about earlier. You give yourself a chance every year, you know, the good things can happen. So, for sure. No, I would love to have Zach around even longer because he's been one of the most consistent pieces to this Cowboys team over the last, you know, 10 years or whatever.
Yeah. And with that, what is your second player? Are you going to be throwing a little bit of a curveball? You have somebody that we're not really talking about, thinking about?
Well, I honestly was expecting you to go this way because I figure like it's going to, I figure there's two blinking lights.
Yeah.
You know, and so because you kind of, you know, threw the curveball, I'm going to stick with it because I had it a backup just in case, but I want to say that we have to talk about keeping Tyler Biadasz.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that he's super important to this team. I mean, I think that his development has gone extremely well. If you look at it, this is his second full year starting, and look, he's a Pro Bowler now. But he's a very smart player. He is a great communicator. You know, he's able to call out the protections at the line of scrimmage, so that's a big help to his quarterback. He didn't allow a single sack last year. The Cowboys don't really have a contingency plan if Biadasz bounces. So, I mean, you got basically, you know, Farniok, who can play center, but both the Connors have left, and both the Connors could play center, but they're gone. And I don't have any issues with paying for players who are very likely to play to the level that justifies their cost, and Biadasz is for certainly one of those players. So I'm all for trying to secure our interior offensive line. I think you can get them for like 5 years, $60 million, you know, and like it's one of those deals where you can have some flexibility too. And I think that's what, 12 per, I believe. And that's not too bad. And especially it's not too bad when you start to get in year three. So I think the Cowboys should make that a priority because he puts together another season, especially another Pro Bowl season. I mean, he's gonna get a good chunk of change next offseason. So I would like to see them get that done before the season started.
The one thing I think people forget when it comes to center is the consistency aspect and not just being there down in and down out, but the comfortability working with Dak. Like, Dak wants somebody who he's very comfortable working with, taking snaps and everything. And Tyler Biadasz has been that for the past four seasons. So I'm pretty sure Dak would appreciate having him around instead of just readjusting, trying to go to somebody else. Because I think that really does play a factor. And you brought up a great point that I don't think anybody has really mentioned yet. Like, who's the backup for Biotish this year? And not only just in the future if he doesn't re-sign, but just on, you know, the 2023 roster, the McGovern and Williams players, both Connors are gone. You, of course, have Alec Lindstrom, but he's a practice squad guy who's been in and out. I brought this up. Like, you have Ben Jones, who was the Titans center last year. He's a free agent still. He's played some guard, so maybe there's some guard center flexibility, and he's a veteran player where if Biotish, you know, goes down or wants to learn from him, he's somebody that's been around for a long time. So I think that would be a good choice. But outside of that, like, he's the only guy that you got. And I think that when you find a center, you want to lock him down the same way that they did with Frederick, where it's just the comfortability. Like, they are the quarterback of the offensive line. I do find it funny how we've mentioned three offensive linemen in this exercise, but that's just where the Cowboys have allocated their resources. That's where it's important to build through the trenches. And I think that for them, when you lock up your center, it solidifies also the rest of the offensive line too.
Yeah, absolutely, too. And remember, the Cowboys did trade up to get Biotish.
I mean, right.
And when you trade, you know, you take a risk like that because you really like what the potential of this player, and that player lives up to that potential. I mean, you don't want to just let him walk. I mean, you want to retain that. I mean, that's how things work. And so, I mean, I would be really weird. The Cowboys took the gamble. Hey, guess what? It worked out exactly like we were hoping, or better, maybe even better. We hoping, and, you know, you're not even missing Travis Frederick these days. And then you're just going to like, let him get loose. And no, we don't have any backups. We have that Brock Hoffman guy.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, to me, I think he might even be a little bit a step ahead of Lindstrom as far as the depth chart, as far as center play. But no, we have nothing else. So, and I think that's one of the key things when you look at how to prioritize these type of players, is you definitely need to look at what, you know, what you have behind them. And in that particular case, you don't have it. So I think that just makes Biotish's value even that much higher.
So would you sign, like, if you were the Cowboys, would you sign him this offseason, you know, when you're trying to get these other deals done, or would you wait until the end of the year, maybe mid-season? Kind of what would be the timeline for you?
No, I'm not wasting any time. I think, you know, if you waste time, the reason you waste time is you either want to see something that you don't know about the player, or you want to see something that you don't know about the situation or of his replacements. Like, you maybe want to see if a player emerges where, hey, maybe we can get by without him. In this particular case, I don't think there is anything to gain by waiting. So in that case, I think it would be smarter to sign him now, because, like I said, I unless he gets hurt, I expect him to have an even better season than he did last year. And he played at a Pro Bowl level last year. So there's no reason to basically wait. There's no benefit to it. So to me, I think it's one of those contracts to where you want to be proactive. And actually, like, I know I picked Terrence Steele first, but if I'm taking the biasness out of it and I'm just putting on my Stephen Jones, you know, what's best for the team thing, I think I prioritize Biotish first, because Steele does have some of those wait and, well, you know, we could learn something from by waiting thing, whether it's his health himself or other things going on around. So I definitely think Biotish is one of the top priorities, and I would love to see him get signed before September.
And he would also join the long history of offensive linemen signing lucrative contracts in Oxnard, California. You have Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Travis Frederick. I wonder if there's plaques at Oxnard, you know, where they have these types of offensive linemen signing these big contracts. He'd kind of fall right into lockstep with those guys. And similarly, the second guy and the last guy that I picked, you have to wait until the end of the season to sign him. It's a rookie from the same draft class. You know, somebody who's been around for a while now, actually entering year three was from 2021. Osa Odighizuwa is the name that I picked. And I say that because you can't sign him, of course, until after the season is over, after his third season in the NFL. But I think that defensive tackle, when you see the trend of the NFL, it's becoming a premium position that you have to pay. You know, of course, it started with somebody like an Aaron Donald, but you have Daron Payne this offseason for the Commanders, who just signed a big deal. Jeffrey Simmons is somebody that signed a big deal. Dexter Lawrence, and then eventually you got to get to Quinnen Williams of the New York Jets. And while those guys are all-pro, Pro Bowl players, Osa Odighizuwa, is similar to what you mentioned with Terrence Steele, this sort of, you still need to see a little bit more, but if he really takes that next step, it's going to hurt in your wallet. You know, it's going to pay. And I think that you can do it similarly to what the Cowboys did with Tyrone Crawford. Similar position where, you know, they signed him before his rookie deal was done. They signed him to an extension, betting on the traits. But I think Osa has better traits to bet on than somebody like Crawford. And that's nothing against Crawford as a player. But I think that just you see a little bit more from Osa and what he's shown you. He has 79 tackles through two seasons, 6 sacks, 14 tackles for loss, and 22 quarterback hits. I think that next season he would establish himself, you know, as this veteran player. When you look at the defensive tackle position after next season, Mozzie Smith and him would be the only two left on the team that have contracts. Neville Gallimore is a free agent. Jonathan Hankins is a free agent. And outside of that, it's just more rotational guys. And comparable contracts, you have B.J. Hill of the Cincinnati Bengals. He signed a 3-year, $30 million deal in 2022. He's had 8.5 sacks over the past two seasons and played 85% of the snaps in 2022. Grover Stewart of the Colts, he signed a 3-year, $30.75 million deal in 2020 and has 5 sacks, similarly about over 70% of the snaps played in 2022. So when you look at Osa comparing to those two guys, the sack number is there, but the snap count is significantly lower. He's played about 53.3% of the snaps, and that I think is because of Dan Quinn with the rotation that he has at defensive tackle. So to me, if he starts playing really well and playing almost 80% of the snaps this year, I think you're going to see the numbers really increase and get to that level where people are starting to look at him as a Pro Bowl kind of defensive tackle, playing for the Cowboys, of course, get you in the spotlight a lot more with all the primetime games. I think the Cowboys have 6 this year. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for him to make money. And if you can kind of catch that wave, similar to what I talked about earlier with Zach Martin, where a lot of these deals are being handed out, get to it early, sign him now. This way it looks a lot better when he turns into that Pro Bowl, All-Pro type player a few years from now when he's not making as much, and then you can kind of reassess it afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, this is just another great choice, Brandon. I mean, I think you're cheating with your selections, because these are guys that's like still got 2 years left. But I agree with everything you said. And Osa is one of those players. He's super high on my list as far as if I were to rank Cowboy players, and I have. He's like the 13th best player to me. And so I mean, I think that he is a great player. You know, if you look at the you know, his length, you know, and how he's able to get through those gaps and use his size. I mean, he's already showing what kind of player he is. And, you know, basically Neville Gallimore is an afterthought. I don't even think, it wouldn't surprise me if Gallimore doesn't even make the final roster just because the Cowboys have, you know, they drafted Fehoku now. So he's, you know, he'll get worked into the three tech mix. They always move players around, like, you know, Chauncey Golston, you know, I know he's an edge, but sometimes he'll attack from inside too. And I feel like there's very limited place for Neville Gallimore. And then one of the reasons that he's an afterthought is because Osa basically just took off running. I mean, he's been a great pick for the Cowboys, and going into year three, this could be a breakout season for him. Absolutely. If you see something in him, you would love to get it locked down sooner. So you don't have to deal with what he would cost in when he hits unrestricted free agency. And as you said, the Cowboys can't move on this until after another season because he is only halfway through his rookie deal. But love the player. Well, I hope he's part of the future. I think he is, because if you look at the Cowboys' young defensive players with Micah and Sam Williams and, you know, and Osa, and now with Mozzie, you got a lot of really great talent there that can get you, you know, from that can really make this a strong defensive line, you know, for many years to come. And I think Diggy is one of those players for sure. So another great choice. Wasn't on the list I was looking at, but a good choice nonetheless.
Well, and I also just, you know, very recently, as of last year, remembered how to spell his name properly, you know, so I need him to stick around longer. So this way, when I'm writing things, it makes a lot more sense.
Absolutely.
And it's the one other name, like you said, kind of cheating the assignment a little bit. That's okay. I always like finding a little bit of loopholes. But Jayron Kearse is a name that I really want to quickly throw out, because of course he's going to be up after this season. And he's, again, another veteran player where, you know, the Cowboys gave money to Donovan Wilson. I don't know if they would allocate. I mean, that would be a total shock if they hand out two big contracts to safeties after not handing out one for the previous seemingly 10 years. But I don't know if he's going to be a part of their long-term future. You do have a few guys that could develop into that safety role, but where does he fit in your mindset and in this mix of maybe being with the Cowboys for another 2 to 3 years? Because he didn't get his big money the first time around, you know, with the Cowboys when he re-signed, so maybe he's trying to look to get a little bit more.
Yeah, I was super happy when they re-signed him, even though it was just for a 2-year deal. I really like Jaron Kearse. I think he's I don't think there's any doubt about it, that he's our best safety. I do think that I will say that I was super surprised that they re-signed Dono. Dono's a good player. He had a great season, and you know he's a splashier player than Jaron. But to me, I think Jaron's the more disciplined player. They're very similar, to be quite honest. But the Cowboys, they loved Dono enough to give him, you know, a good contract, which also makes the selection of DeMarvion Overshown a little like confused. I feel like we got three players that are very similar as far as, I mean, they're different, but they're also very similar. They're very, you know, they're going to be a force close to the line of scrimmage. So I feel like because of the commitment with Dono and now with Overshown, I don't see a place where you can justify going after Jaron Kearse. As much as I like to have him back, and I do think he'll command some money, and you know, with in free agency. But since you brought up safety, one player that I think that might have a shot is the one free safety that we have on this team. You know, and that's Malik Hooker. I think you look at how he's played since coming to Dallas. You know, he has he's battling injuries throughout his entire career with Indy. And I think he only played 2 games his final rookie deal with the Colts. But then comes over to Dallas and he's just got a new life on health. He's played 15 plus, I think, in both the seasons that he's been with us. And, had a great game against his former team last year. And I think he had a career high in tackles. You know, he had, I think, 3 picks, if I'm not mistaken. So I know the Cowboys, they use a lot of defensive backs. So they're not. He's not playing a large amount of snaps, so you kind of work. But I think that's good for his health. The thing about Hooker is that he's just unique in the sense that of these guys that we've talked about, as far as coverage goes, he's your ball hawking, you know, safety. The other guys, you know, they struggle in those areas. You know, they're better at closer to the line of scrimmage. So I don't know what he would command, but I mean, I wouldn't be against maybe trying to bring him back on another deal. Maybe if it's somewhat affordable. I definitely think when you look at what you have behind, I don't think the Cowboys have much. I don't know what they have. They have some young guys that we haven't seen much. And then Mukwamu, I think he's good coverage because he's a hybrid corner guy. But I don't know if he's going to be your heir apparent to Hooker. So to me, I feel like there's just a bigger, while Kearse is a better safety, Hooker just is maybe the bigger need for the team. So that's why he was my third player on my list of legitimate last year guys. I do like Jaron Kearse. So I just feel like based on what the talent the Cowboys have with those other guys, I don't know that you really gain much in that by keeping him.
Well, you mentioned the depth behind Kearse. Don't disrespect Kelvin Joseph in his transition into safety this year. The last question, and that'll be a topic for another day. We don't have to get into that right now. But the last question I do want to ask you, it's seemingly as we get closer to Oxnard, we do think that one contract will be signed between maybe Dak, Lamb, Diggs, Prescott, and Lamb. Do you have an idea, and maybe even a Biotish, if you had to sit right now, and we won't hold you to it, but which of those guys do you think will be signed heading into 2023?
If I had to put money on it, I really think it's going to be Biotish because wow. I feel like that's the word. I feel like he's most likely to get something that he and his agent say, yeah, this is good. Yeah. I think with Dak, I would love for it to be Dak. I think the Cowboys would too, but I think there, you know, there's two sides to it, and Dak's agent is he knows what he's doing here. Yeah. So, you know, that might be a little bit more of a challenge too, because then there's still 2 more years left. I would think that maybe that they would be more diligent of trying to work something going into next offseason versus this one. But so I lean towards Biotish. I think, yeah, another plaque for a lineman, you know, in Oxnard was what I like to see. And again, I'm never against safe players, you know, safe picks, you know, good, you know, just wise investments. And I think, you know, you're getting that with Biotish. And so that, if I had to predict, that's where I would go. Who are you predicting?
I was going to say Biotish too, because I think it's just something about that California air that just really entices people to sign lucrative deals who play offensive line. You know, it's just something that happens seemingly with the Cowboys every year. But I also wouldn't be shocked if they get something done with Terrence Steele. You know, if they really feel like that maybe the right tackle position would be like it's easier to find a replacement center in the draft, maybe in free agency, as opposed to a legitimate right tackle. Maybe they want to bet on the upside. And like you mentioned, maybe the value might be a little bit lower now for the Cowboys, and they can strike and say, well, you know, you're coming back from injury. We're going to offer you a contract like similar we did with Michael Gallup to help you out right now. And then they can kind of beat that curve where he could be a Pro Bowl, all pro right tackle for the next few seasons. And then you kind of readjust your contract after that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if Steele was the guy. And I would, you know, it's usually someone that we didn't see coming, you know. And yeah. I know a couple of years ago is like Jalen Smith was, and never saw that. It could be just someone who you look at it and they feel like getting the security and their value right now is where they're happy with it. And so that's where I think Steele, the Cowboys could end up signing him to a big deal and end up being like you know, the lineman before him that's super valuable as the years go by because he's like, I mean, I'm not worried about his health. I may be worried about his health early part of 2023, but I'm not worried about his long-term health. I'm not worried about what type of player he's going to be. I feel like he's going to be that type of player or even better. So I think it's a very safe contract to do, and I definitely love the player.
Well, when you hear the 3-year maybe $10 million contract to Will Greer coming out of Oxnard, just know that you heard it here first that we said that something will surprise us coming out of California.
Yeah, you heard it first from Brandon.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. Danny, again, thank you so much for hopping on. Where can people follow you on Twitter again? What's the Twitter handle?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at DannyPhantom24, and you could all read my articles over at Blogging the Boys. So it's and also you know, find me on Fridays with my buddy Rebel Rouser on our podcast, The Star Seminar. So make sure to check it out. But it's great hanging out with you, Brandon.
Absolutely. And of course, we can't get out of here with also mentioning Jess as well and her Twitter handle, and that is at Justin Farris _. I'm at Brandon is right, and that's WRITE. Thank you, everyone, for joining in with the latest episode of the Writer's Block podcast. And always remember, go Cowboys.